Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Death of Death, where we proclaim Christ's victory over sin, death, and everything else. I'm your host, Nick Stewart. A couple of things I wanted to bring to your attention. We have a new show notes page on the website. So now we have all the show notes in one easy place for your convenience. You can go to notes.deathofdeath.net, or you can reach it from the homepage by clicking the drop-down menu labeled Podcast. I also created a new and better email for you to contact the show. Just email contact@deathofdeath.net for any questions, suggestions, or accusations of heresy. That's it, so let's get into the show. Recently, as an exercise with some men from my church, we read through the books of Luke and Acts and noted everything that the Holy Spirit does. My pastor thought this would be a good exercise for us, and I'm really glad he suggested it because my eyes were open to easily five times the amount of work I would have attributed to him before. I'll link to my final summary in the show notes, but I wanted to pick one or two functions, if you will, and talk about them here on the show. I should start by saying I am a cessationist, and there are a lot of deeply distressful misconceptions of what that means. Someone once said to me, so you're a cessationist. That means you don't believe in the Holy Spirit, right? No, that is not the case. I think most of you who listen to the show already know that's not what it means, but I think I could best sum it up in a simple fashion with, I believe the miraculous gifts were only for the apostolic era. Simple enough. I made sure to state that in a way that didn't follow any sort of, I don't believe this or I don't believe that. It's always more meaningful to state what you do believe or what you are in favor of than what you're against. That's why the show's tagline is what we do proclaim, the victory of Christ over sin, death, and everything else. It's not what we don't proclaim, like pessimism and alcoholism and the end of the world. See, it's just not as grabby when you do it that way. I'll link to a helpful podcast I heard recently about cessationism. Samuel Waldron was on the Covenant podcast in a two-part episode talking about it. That will be in the show notes. And where do you get the show notes? Notes.deathofdeath.net. I worked hard on that page for you. The first function of the Holy Spirit that stuck out to me throughout both books was that of empowering. I summed this up in my final analysis as the Holy Spirit empowers, goes with, leads mission, and promotes evangelism. I lumped all of those together because they all served essentially the same purpose, which was furthering the gospel and advancing the kingdom. We start in Luke 1:15-17. We see right after it tells us that John the Baptist will be filled with the Holy Spirit, it then tells us about the mission he'll be on to turn Israelites back to their God. It says Simeon went to the temple in the Spirit. You see the similarities. The Holy Spirit is pushing people forward to where they need to go. The next time we see this kind of language is in Luke 4:1, where it says the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted. This is often considered to be where and how Satan fell like lightning when Jesus resisted his temptations and rendered him powerless. And then he, to go along with the parable, bound the strong man and raided his house by casting out demons. Jesus then leaves the wilderness by the Spirit, it says, and goes to the temple. He reads the scroll from Isaiah, and it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon him because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed." That's Luke 4:18, quoting Isaiah. Jesus reads this from Isaiah, and we see that even in Isaiah, the Spirit was to be sent and to be upon the Messiah and empowers his mission to proclaim the good news of liberty, recover sight to the blind, and set people free. We see early in the book of Acts that the Spirit is poured out on the disciples and leads directly to massive witnessing and thousands of people being saved. This is the Holy Spirit advancing the kingdom and in all things pointing to Christ. the Holy Spirit directly tells Philip to go to the chariot and talk to the Ethiopian. After the Ethiopian's baptism, the Spirit carries Philip away to Azotus, and he preached the gospel all the way from there to Caesarea. The Spirit organizes the meeting of Peter and Cornelius. He even speaks to Peter directly and says, "Hey, there are three men here looking for you." That's a paraphrase, obviously. But he directly organizes and orchestrates the meeting of those four men. So we see a direct correlation between the Spirit filling people and what they go on to do for the kingdom. If you had asked me before I did this study, what do you think the Spirit does in Luke and Acts, I probably would have said he fills people. And if you had really pushed me, I may have said he regenerates people. But I came out of this study with a massive list of things that he does, and it was really encouraging and made me both feel like I have a long way to go in understanding the Spirit, if that's even possible, and also that I can set toward understanding what Scripture tells us about the Spirit. The next thing that stuck out so plainly to me was the things that tend to accompany the Spirit, and I want to be careful of how I word that, because it doesn't always say the Spirit gave him wisdom, but it does say that he was filled with the Spirit and wisdom. That's just an example. But some of the things that tend to go along with the Spirit are joy, wisdom, like I said, and comfort. We see Jesus rejoicing in the Holy Spirit in Luke 10:21. An important part of this study is Jesus being the archetype of a member of the covenant of grace. His relationship with the Spirit is exemplary, and he was always fully in the Spirit. Everything he did was by the Spirit. So we see even Jesus rejoicing in the Spirit, and it's clear that we should be doing the same. That's not a command, mind you. I'm not saying get out there and rejoice or you're not in the Spirit, but sometimes it's helpful when someone just tells you, be joyful. In Acts 13:52, the disciples are likewise filled with joy and the Holy Spirit, so we see that it is indeed something we partake in, just like Jesus did. Then there's comfort. Acts 9:31 says the church had peace and was being built up, walking in the fear of the Lord and comfort. And that's an interesting parallel. They walked in the fear of the Lord, which isn't some trembling fear, although sometimes it is that. To fear God is to acknowledge his power over you. So they were doing that and also being comforted. I'll link to my pastor Chris Pobletti's book, The Two Fears, in the show notes if you want to read more about that. Oh, and where do you go for the show notes? Notes.deathofdeath.net. I've said it so many times, why do you keep forgetting? Acts says that as the church walked in the fear of God and the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they multiplied. And I love to read that. I love to read about all the multiplication of the church in Acts, because it always comes after some massive persecution, which is an interesting thing. The more the church is persecuted, the bigger it grows and multiplies. But here in chapter 9, it comes after comfort. So it's just nice to read that for a change. Instead of persecution, the multiplication comes after comfort. Wisdom is the other thing that seems to accompany the Spirit everywhere he goes. In Acts 6:3, it says Stephen was filled with the Spirit and wisdom. I think it's accurate to say the Spirit gives wisdom. After all, we know all true wisdom is from God and the Spirit is God. So if he's indwelling you, I don't think it's far-fetched to say he himself is imparting wisdom, joy, and comfort directly to you. I do find it odd that the text merely indicates that he accompanies these things, but that could just be a way of indicating him giving us those things. So as good Trinitarians, we know that the Spirit's role in the Godhead is to point to the person and work of the Son. Everything we see the Spirit do in Luke and Acts serves that end. By empowering people to mission and going with them in their mission, he therefore leads the mission, which is furthering the kingdom and proclaiming the work of the Son. The Spirit is always promoting evangelism, which serves that end as well. In general, I feel like my knowledge of the Holy Spirit is woefully inadequate, and I really want to learn more. So if you have any recommended resources, feel free to email them to me at contact@deathofdeath.net. I hope this episode encouraged you to get into your Bible and see what you can learn about the Spirit. If you'd like to support the show and partner with us, you can do so by going to patreon.com/deathofdeath, and for only $4 a month, you can become a member of the elect and get an exclusive podcast as well as early access to this podcast. That's going to do it for today. I've been your host, Nick, here to tell you that California is a prison, and if you're as committed to proclaiming Christ's victory, I'll be here to do it with you all again next week. Goodbye for now. I swear that bird knows exactly when I start recording.